Today is Tuesday, December 1st. What to know about more progress on a COVID-19 vaccine. But while we wait, there are new warnings and even emergency text messages about overwhelmed hospitals. We'll explain. And an assassination has prompted new tensions between Iran and Israel. Plus, how technology is playing a new role in mental health. The 2020 Word of the Year. And why Giving Tuesday is extra special this year. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The FDA is now reviewing two potential COVID-19 vaccines. The drug maker Moderna became the second company now to request emergency authorization for its vaccine candidate. An approval looks likely, since Moderna also just got more encouraging news about the safety and effectiveness of its shots. Moderna says its final data shows the vaccine was 94% effective, and the company says it did not show any serious side effects. Even more good news, Moderna says the vaccine was equally effective across all ages, races, ethnicities, and genders. In fact, it was shown to be 100% effective in preventing severe cases of COVID-19. There were only 11 people who got the vaccine in Moderna's trials who did end up showing some COVID-19 symptoms, but every case was mild. On the flip side, 30 volunteers who got a placebo, aka a dummy shot, got a severe case of the disease. So Moderna says that's proof the shots do work, and the company's president calls the findings truly exciting. Now, if this all sounds familiar, that's because we already reported similar results from Moderna, but those were preliminary. The latest data is now final, though it still needs to be reviewed by third parties. The FDA says an advisory committee is going to consider Moderna's request on December 17th. Now, keep in mind, the Pfizer vaccine is under review as well, and it's about a week ahead of the Moderna one. The FDA's advisory committee will consider Pfizer's request on December 10th, that's next week, and authorization is expected to come soon after. If both the Pfizer and Moderna shots are cleared, as many as 40 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines could be available by the end of this year. Yes, they both require you to get two different shots about a month apart. Still, it's enough for 20 million Americans to potentially get their first vaccine shot in the next month. And that brings us to the next big question. Who will get the vaccines first? Well, the CDC has a panel of vaccine experts who are voting today on that very question. The committee will come up with a recommendation, and the CDC usually follows it and writes up its own official policy. However, the ultimate decision will come down to each state's governor. We'll let you know when we learn more about the plans for distribution, expected soon. As we wait on a vaccine, medical workers are getting stretched to their limits, and there are new warnings about hospitals getting overwhelmed. Already, the COVID Tracking Project says there are a record 96,000-plus coronavirus patients in American hospitals. And just yesterday, the Association of American Medical Colleges called on the nation's health systems, medical schools, and teaching hospitals to get crisis standards ready. And that means healthcare workers need to know how to ration supplies and sort patients. And that might be necessary all around the country to deal with shortages of healthcare workers, hospital beds, or supplies. A lot of places are already over capacity. Rhode Island, for example, sent out a mass alert on cell phones around the state yesterday. It said, quote, "Hospitals at capacity due to COVID. Help the front line by staying home as much as possible for the next 2 weeks." A field hospital is also opening in Rhode Island this week to help with overflow. Over in Wisconsin, the chief quality officer at the UW Health Hospital System in Madison said if things get worse, doctors might be unable to care for people with other emergencies like heart attacks and strokes. In Ohio, the UC Hospital System in Cincinnati converted its cardiovascular unit into a second ICU since its first one was overflowing. And those are just a few examples. Again, experts say the best we can do at this point is to wear masks, avoid crowds, and wash our hands often. And if you haven't already, get the flu shot. And one more thing when it comes to COVID-19. A controversial member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force resigned. Fox News got a hold of Dr. Scott Atlas's resignation letter that he apparently gave to President Trump yesterday. President Trump asked Dr. Atlas to join the task force back in August, and while Atlas says he worked hard to save lives and help Americans through the pandemic, many other top medical officials, including some of his fellow task force members, have criticized his input on coronavirus issues since he does not have a background in infectious diseases. He's a neuroradiologist on leave from a conservative think tank. His resignation did not come as a big surprise, though. Atlas was hired as a special government employee, so his term was set to expire next week anyway. In his resignation letter, Atlas said he wished all the best to the incoming administration. There is fresh backlash in Iran over the death of a top nuclear scientist there. Mohsen Fikrizadeh was the founder of Iran's military nuclear program. but he was assassinated on Friday and buried yesterday with full honors. Iran is blaming Israel for the killing, but Israel has not taken responsibility or responded to the allegations. Still, Iranian leaders are promising a definite punishment and are vowing to continue his work. Meanwhile, White House senior advisor Jared Kushner and his team are headed to the Middle East this week. They're going to Saudi Arabia and Qatar. The Wall Street Journal says the focus of the talks is supposed to be on helping to come up with a deal to end tensions there, but it's possible the assassination complicates things. Stay tuned. Well, back in the U.S., and on a much lighter note, First Lady Melania Trump unveiled this year's White House Christmas decorations. This year, the theme is America the Beautiful. It includes rows and rows of Christmas trees decorated with mostly red, gold, and silver ornaments and white lights. There's also a toy train on display, dubbed the White House Express. Other decorations are a nod to gender equality, including a tree that celebrates the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. There's also a snow-covered mini hospital on display, as well as ornaments of a garbage truck, a nurse's hat, and a lab coat, all in tribute to essential workers. More news ahead, but first, I'm excited to tell you about our new sponsor this week, Ritual. I love these multivitamins because before Ritual, I've always been someone who struggled to find the right type of vitamin. Either they seemed to have synthetic fillers and other shady extras, or they were bad-smelling horse pills that I ultimately avoided taking. But Ritual fixes all of those problems. First, Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly formula is made with key nutrients in forms our bodies can actually use. In fact, Ritual is really transparent about this stuff. You'll always know where your nutrients come from thanks to its one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. On top of that, the pills are actually fresh tasting. For example, a mint tab in the women's multivitamin makes the pills smell and taste minty. And Ritual vitamins are now available for women, pregnant women, men, and teens, each scientifically developed to help support different life stages. I've been taking Ritual vitamins for months already, and now I've just ordered my husband some vitamins as well. You too deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. Again, get 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. The top medical experts in the country are now working to make mental health apps more widely available. Business Insider reports the FDA has sped up its evaluation process, swiftly approving more apps and software than usual in just a few months. Some of them do require a prescription and can be pricey, but all of them have been researched extensively in clinical trials, and insurance may help cover the price since they have FDA approval. Now expect to see more FDA-approved therapies soon. In September, the FDA set up a new division, the Digital Health Center of Excellence, for that very purpose, speeding up digital therapy. This is an especially big deal right now because the pandemic has made a lot of mental health issues worse, and healthcare providers have struggled to keep up with everyone who needs help. But not all mental health apps are created equal, and that's why some critics worry apps are not enough on their own to deal with serious mental health issues. The San Francisco 49ers are relocating to Arizona, at least for now. The reason? Well, they can't practice or play at home in Santa Clara, California right now because the local government there has temporarily banned all contact sports due to COVID-19, even professional sports. So for the next 3 weeks at least, the San Francisco 49ers will host their home games at the Cardinal Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Sources tell the AP they'll also be practicing there. This marks the first time an NFL team has had to relocate due to local or state COVID-19 rules. TBD on how long this will last. For now, the local ban on contact sports is for the next 3 weeks. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens are running into their own problems. Their upcoming game has now been postponed for a third time. It was originally supposed to happen on Thanksgiving, but too many players had COVID-19 or had been exposed. So the game was bumped to Sunday, then today, and now it's on tap for tomorrow. And by the way, of all the teams in the NFL, only the Seattle Seahawks have not had even one positive COVID-19 case this season. Merriam-Webster and Dictionary.com have each picked their 2020 Word of the Year, and they both went with pandemic. On the day the pandemic was declared, Merriam-Webster says it saw a 115,000% spike in searches for the word. Dictionary.com saw a 13,000% spike. Both dictionary companies say the word pandemic has essentially defined 2020, and it's probably how we'll refer to this period in history in the future. And by the way, some other words that made it into the top 10 this year were defund, coronavirus, quarantine, and asymptomatic. Today is Giving Tuesday. It's a day when people are encouraged to donate some of their time, talents, or money to a good cause. And this year, charities say it's needed more than ever. And that's because the pandemic has put a serious financial strain on millions of people and nonprofit organizations. One expert who works with donors told The Washington Post, if you have the means, consider donating to a charity that helps people with their basic needs like health, food, and housing. You could also lend a hand to other groups that need a little boost right now. Arts groups, for example, are also struggling. They've lost their audience to the virus, and therefore they've lost their funding. So there's a ton of options for giving back this year. Of course, always make sure you're giving to a legitimate charity. We'll put a link in today's episode notes to charitynavigator.org. That helps you evaluate various charities. And by the way, in honor of Giving Tuesday, we here at The Newsworthy are committing to donating 20% of the money we receive this month from our Newsworthy insiders, both current and new members. We'll donate to the World Central Kitchen, which is providing COVID-19 food relief and responds to areas impacted by disasters. Learn more about becoming a Newsworthy insider at thenewsworthy.com/insider. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick break for our sponsor, Castle Grade. If you're looking for a mask that is reusable, sustainable, comfortable, and has the same level of protection as N95 masks, then check out Castle Grade. In fact, Castle Grade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95, so it filters air in both directions on inhale and exhale, and the Castle Grade mask is much more environmentally friendly than other ones. Instead of contributing to the billions of disposable masks and N95s being thrown out each day, the Castle Grade mask is reusable and even dishwasher safe. The company also says the silicone mask base naturally forms a self-suction seal that doesn't fog up your glasses and allows for breathability. They have options for adults and kids, and even activated carbon filters that help remove toxins from smoke and fumes, perfect for anyone living in an area prone to wildfires. So go to castlegrade.com to learn more and enter the discount code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com and use the code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Okay, so today's trivia question is, what was Marilyn Monroe's real name? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories, so find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. As for last week's trivia question, what is a group of turkeys called? The answer is a rafter. The term comes from the word raft, which simply means a large collection of something. Some other quick fun facts about turkeys: you can hear them gobble from up to a mile away. They're also super fast. They can run up to 25 miles per hour and fly short distances at speeds up to 55 miles per hour. Wild turkeys can be found in almost every state in the U.S. Alaska and Hawaii are the only ones without extensive wild populations. They're also the most hunted of all birds in North America. The average American eats 18 pounds of turkey every year, especially on special occasions. But more turkeys are eaten on Thanksgiving than Christmas and Easter combined. Shout out to Robin, Heather, Aaron, Lori, and everyone who played along on Instagram. All right, thanks for listening today and making The Newsworthy part of your daily routine. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.